Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great nation, despite the fact that new polls show that both parties simultaneously are sinking in public esteem. What does it mean when a majority of Americans look unfavorably on the Democratic Party and a majority of Americans, a slightly larger majority of Americans, look unfavorably at the Republican Party? And what does it mean when we have gone way down in terms of confidence in the federal government, according to a new Gallup poll? All of that is going on at a time when there are smart people who feel that there is a whiff of civil war in the air. We're going to be speaking a little bit later today to David French, who is a perceptive observer, who has written a prior book about the threat of secession. Are we on the verge of the United States actually breaking apart? Is that a serious possibility? There are a number of pieces that have said that it is. There is also, while people have no faith in the federal government and no faith in the federal government's handling of foreign policy in particular, that of course is a reflection of the disaster in Afghanistan and the administration's horrible handling of that. In that region of the world, a real possibility of an Israeli strike on Iran, it is back on the table. Ilan Berman, who has written and actually researched extensively on foreign policy, says, well, not out of the question. What would that mean to American security? What would that mean in American politics? Especially when there are so many Democrats, increasingly, who oppose even a defensive, purely defensive weapon for Israel like the Iron Dome. We'll also be speaking about why it is that the Washington Post wants to eliminate the idea that people would ever refer to pregnant women. What exactly is the phrase you're supposed to use according to their new style book? We will get to that as well on the Medved Show. And then we'll also talk about the looming disaster that Joe Biden wants to blame on the Republicans. Now, how is it to be blamed on the Republicans that we don't raise the debt limit, when raising the debt limit is something Congress does? Which House of Congress do the Republicans control? Answer, zero. Which branches of our government are completely controlled by the Democrats at the moment? All of them. So if we are facing a catastrophe, and I believe we are, I think this is not alarmism. I think it's very real. If they can't get their act together, Charles Schumer and the other Democrats on Capitol Hill, and actually do something about the debt ceiling, then it could be the kind of economic calamity that impacts the entire world, that impacts every family in America, that hurts our wages, that hurts our jobs, that hurts our savings and our investments and whatever is going on. Now, say this on a day when the Dow is doing very well, trying to make up for some of the ground it's lost recently. But how is it in any sense the fault of Republicans who control absolutely nothing about our governmental federal system right now? No, of course, there are states that are Republican-controlled, but that's not the problem right now. The problem is the federal government, and also in this Gallup poll that we're going to be speaking about. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. Okay, first off, these two polls, one of which shows the party favorable ratings are almost identical, but both major parties are viewed negatively. So what does that say about the direction of the country? It shows that overwhelmingly, in polls where they ask people the direction of the country, people think we're headed the wrong way. If, by the way, you think that America's headed in the right direction right now, if you're part of that minority, and there are some, you might actually want to call 1-800-955-1776. Given the gloom and the misinformation and the paranoia and the conspiracy theories on every side, and people actually talking at the moment about a new civil war again, okay, why is all that going on if America is going in the right direction? What is it that people don't see? 1-800-955-1776. Okay, in favorable ratings, and this is from the most recent Gallup poll, and it shows that asked, do you have a favorable opinion of the Democratic Party? 43% have a favorable opinion of the Democratic Party. Do you have a favorable opinion of the GOP? 40%. But what's striking about this is not the fact that the two parties are so close. It's that both of them are negative, because the Democratic Party favorable rating went down from 48% earlier this year down to 43%. And from the Republicans, by the way, also went down dramatically. The 3-point percentage point gap in favorability is down from 11 points earlier this year, shortly after President Joe Biden's inauguration, and as the Senate was preparing to try former President Donald Trump on impeachment charges. The Democratic Party led the Republicans by a 48-37% edge in favorability. And now the Democratic Party down to 43% with only a 3-point edge. The Republicans have a 56% unfavorable. Democrats 55% unfavorable. I actually think people are tired of the whole show. And that's part of what is going on here, and that's part of what is going on with the trust in government. The Gallup headline shows that when people are asked this, do you trust government a great deal, a fair amount, or not at all? And the Americans' trust in government has gone down when it comes to the federal government's handling of domestic problems. It's gone down from an average between 1997 and 2001, an average of 39, down from an average of, pardon me, 53% down to 39%. It's been a very dramatic drop. Federal government handling of international problems, an even more dramatic drop. And federal government branches, and this is fascinating, with all of the publicity about the Supreme Court and Roe v. Wade and all of the important cases coming up, the Supreme Court has done, well, it's done much better until just very recently. Supreme Court 67% who had faith in the Supreme Court in 2020. This year, down to 54%. So where do you go? What do we do? And does local activism make up for some of or end up being a response to some of this lack of confidence in the feds? We will get to that question and much more coming up on the MedVet Show.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael MedVet Show. That's 1-800-955-1776.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
The pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad. And since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free. So I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands and certainly for me. Go to MichaelMedVet.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedVet.com. Click on the banner for Relief Factor or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
On the Michael Med MedVed Show, there is a great deal of disenchantment, a great deal of fear, a great deal of hatred, resentment, and anger, just sheer anger, boiling around the country right now on a whole series of issues. And no, it's not just the mandates, it's not just the requirements for people to get vaccines or to use masks. That is maybe the most dramatic at the moment. But there's also this whole question about Facebook. Now, not that anybody particularly trusted Facebook, but everybody uses it. And you had a lesson yesterday with the what was apparently not a hacking incident. I mean, virtually all of the people who have studied this stuff suggest that it was some kind of an internal problem of Facebook that made the entire system go down, and including WhatsApp and Instagram and more. But, okay, Facebook is back, and it's also back on Capitol Hill. And it's part of an illustration of why when people are talking about civil war or radical change or basically having to redo something profoundly in the country, it's not just government. A Gallup poll may show that people have declining faith in our governmental institutions, particularly legislative, actually particularly executive most recently, and partially because of the performance of Biden and Harris, who are the only people really in the executive branch that most people in America even recognize. But with all of that going on, there's a decline in confidence in big tech, decline of confidence in our educational system and things that people are trying to instill and install in our educational system, and a tremendous decline in confidence, which I don't think is justified, in our system of medical care. And when people go out, they had a big anti-mandate, anti-vaccine mandate rally in the state capitol here in Washington, in Olympia, over the weekend. They had a lot of people who showed up who were demonstrating about the fact that the mandates in Washington state, as they have been everywhere and all around the world, seem to be working. The overwhelming majority of people are choosing to keep their jobs. Pretty much everybody is getting vaccinated. There will be some people who choose to give up their jobs rather than get mandated. But the fact that people are demonstrating about this right now with basically very little to hope of seeing this changed by the governor, or by the legislature, or by anybody, that is just a dramatic indication of a lack of confidence in hospitals, physicians, medical experts, institutions, research establishments. I mean, the idea that there are people who are saying that Dr. Fauci should now be considered not any kind of a national public servant or somebody who deserves admiration, but should be viewed as a mass murderer. There's also the ramming of Facebook today by Frances Haugen, who used to work for them, and she's testifying today on Capitol Hill, and her testimony is dramatic, and it is in fact newsworthy, precisely because she is speaking from inside what has been one of the most powerful and influential forces in American life, starting with Facebook, that she talks about in her opening statement, clip one.
I'm here today because I believe Facebook's products harm children, stoke division, and weaken our democracy. The company's leadership knows how to make Facebook and Instagram safer, but won't make the necessary changes because they have put their astronomical profits before people. Congressional action is needed. They won't solve this crisis without your help. Yesterday, we saw Facebook get taken off the internet. I don't know why it went down, but I know that for more than 5 hours, Facebook wasn't used to deepen divides, destabilize democracies, and make young girls and women feel bad about their bodies. It also means that millions of small businesses weren't able to reach potential customers, and countless photos of new babies weren't joyously celebrated by family and friends around the world. I believe in the potential of Facebook. We can have social media we enjoy that connects us without tearing apart our democracy, putting our children in danger, and sowing ethnic violence around the world. We can do better.
The question really becomes, do you really think that Congress can do better? You don't have any faith in Facebook. I don't see why anyone should. Facebook does what corporations do. It's pursuing profits. And should it be reined in if it actually damages people in pursuit of profits and without paying a cost for some of that damage? I think that's an item that Congress is undoubtedly going to debate after this testimony. But the idea that political action, the idea that through changes of legislation of the federal government taking up arms, basically, against a private company, the idea that somebody has more faith in that process than in the process of the marketplace, that troubles me. And I'm not sure it's true. Haugen, who in her testimony today, said that Facebook and other social media should be regulated like other dangerous substances and influences around us. This is clip 4.
Tobacco was hiding the harms it caused. The government took action. When we figured out cars were safer with seatbelts, the government took action. And when our government learned that opioids were taking lives, the government took action. I implore you to do the same here. Today, Facebook shapes our perception of the world by choosing the information we see. Even those who don't use Facebook are impacted by the majority who do. A company with such frightening influence over so many people, over their deepest thoughts, feelings, and behavior, needs real oversight.
Okay, is it less scary if the government takes over the thoughts and the intimate musings that people may have, that the government supervises what Facebook can transmit and cannot? There are very real First Amendment problems in that. And they ought to be obvious. And they certainly ought to be obvious to constitutional conservatives. When we come back, there's also an obvious a series of stories. Just hours ago, Aviv Kochavi, who is the Israeli chief, intelligence chief, he's outgoing. He's saying the Islamic Republic is stable, but history shows what becomes of such dark regimes. And he says operations to destroy Iranian capabilities will continue. Are the Israelis looking at a serious strike against Iran before Biden undoes the Iran deal or redoes the Iran deal? We'll get to that and more with Ilan Berman coming up.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than sunny-bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now, because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality-made travel pillows or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come in a wide variety of uses. Apply hot or cold therapy. And they're all made in the USA. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The debt ceiling still a big topic of discussion on Capitol Hill. Senate Majority Leader from New York, Chuck Schumer, speaking on the Senate floor, calling out Republicans for not wanting to raise the debt ceiling, which could cause the country to go into a major financial crisis.
Republicans seem intent on seeing the U.S. miss out on its payments for the first time ever. They seem perfectly at ease telling the American people, including our active military, our Social Security recipients, and all those who rely on Medicare, that they are unequivocally the party of default.
Republicans have said Democrats will not go it alone because of all the government spending they are proposing. President Biden visiting a labor union engineering training facility in Michigan, promoting his Build Back Better agenda. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Michael Medved Show. It's been a pleasure to speak with Ilan Berman on the show several times before. He is the Senior Vice President of the American Foreign Policy Council in Washington, D.C., and he has just written an important piece. To many people, it will be a chilling piece. Just hours ago, the Times of Israel had a headline, IDF Chief Vows Israel will further target Iran, including its nuclear program. And he has a piece in National Review just posted, Why an Israeli Military Option Against Iran is Back on the Table. Ilan, I think a lot of this goes back, doesn't it, to a speech that that the new Prime Minister, Naftali Bennett, made to the United Nations just a couple of weeks ago. What did he say that was so particularly noteworthy?
Right. Well, hi, Michael. And this is, I think, precisely right. To me, Bennett's speech, remember, right, Bennett is a conservative Israeli politician, but he was supposed to signal a turn away from the policies of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel. But in fact, there's much more continuity than change when it comes to looking, the way Israel looks at Iran. Iran is seen as an existential danger. And this was precisely the message that Bennett brought to the UN General Assembly when he gave his speech last week. And so Bennett's message, this was his first turn at the UN as Israel's head of state, and the message he gave was effectively that we've waited, we've taken a back seat for a long time, but Iran's nuclear program is at this pivotal moment, and there will come a time where we're not prepared to wait any longer. And frankly, it was a signal to the international community, but most pointedly, it was a signal to the Biden administration that Israel's patience is not infinite, and that Israel's confidence in the idea of a negotiated solution with Iran over its nuclear program is frankly pretty low.
What about the Biden administration? There obviously was a warm words from the Biden administration about Israel when Bennett was here, and Bennett spoke well about their meeting. Did he make any progress, the Israeli prime minister, in trying to deter the Biden administration from rejoining the so-called nuclear deal, the disastrous nuclear deal that Obama had put in place, that Trump had withdrawn from? Any indication that the United States might at least stall in trying to renegotiate a new U.S.-Iranian deal?
Look, I think there was certainly some optimism in Israel that, between the departure of Netanyahu, the advent of a new administration in Washington, there was the ability to turn the page, so to speak, between Washington and Jerusalem. But I think that confidence in Israel is waning, because what we're seeing on the part of the Biden administration is this headlong rush into negotiations with Iran and the desire to negotiate to such an extent that we're willing to extend concession after concession in order to bring the Iranians to the table. For the Israelis, I think there's a real concern that there really isn't a limit here to the willingness to negotiate with Iran, and there isn't a time limit to the Biden administration's outstretched hand, so to speak. And, as far as the Israelis are concerned, the Iranian nuclear clock is ticking very loudly. The Iranian nuclear program isn't standing very still, and they're becoming more and more nervous that the clock is running out and time is working in favor of Iran and against them and against the United States.
Okay, the general assumption is by foreign policy experts that if Israel had any kind of nuclear strike against Iran, that would precipitate a wider Middle Eastern war. Do you believe that to be true?
Well, I think the real question here is what that military action would look like. Look, the Israeli officials, when they do talk about this, and they don't talk about this very often, but when they do talk about this, they're very careful to couch how they talk about military action against Iran. They're not talking about getting rid of Iran's nuclear program wholesale. They simply think that that infrastructure is too big, it's too expended, it's too entrenched to really be pulled out root and branch. What they're talking about is pinpoint strikes against certain facilities intended to set back Iran's nuclear endeavor. The Israelis have the military capability to do that, but there are signs that because they were confident in the Trump administration's maximum pressure campaign, they focused less on this in the last couple of years than they had previously. And now I think there's a sense that, Washington has turned the page, and now the Israelis are feeling like they're forced to play catch up. And that's why there's all this new focus.
What if, assuming that the Biden administration, I think it's a safe assumption, especially after the Afghanistan experience, wants to avoid involvement in a new Middle Eastern conflict, what could they most effectively do to try to head off this danger?
No, I think that's precisely right. Look, the debacle that was the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, and in many ways, the sort of the reverberations are still echoing throughout the Middle East. It's having a very serious effect on the confidence of allied countries like Israel in terms of confidence in what the U.S. is going to do regionally. If the U.S. wants to head off some sort of coming conflagration in the Middle East, the U.S. has to signal to Israel and to other allies in the region that there are limits to its efforts to engage with Iran, that there is a willingness on the part of Washington to impose concrete consequences on Iran if Iran doesn't play ball, if Iran doesn't accept the limits to its nuclear program. Because right now, as one foreign policy expert said, we've gone from a policy of maximum pressure to a policy of maximum deference. And that's what the Israelis are responding to.
And in terms of that response, What happens next right now with this new government, both a new government, relatively new in the United States and in Israel?
Well, I think that's a really interesting question, and there are some pretty feverish consultations that are happening now, including today in Washington, between Israeli and U.S. officials, and you know all the right words are being said, but it's that level of confidence that in the aftermath of the Afghan withdrawal, in the aftermath of all these mixed signals that the Biden administration is sending, that, you know, on the part of the Israelis has really been shaken. I think there's far less confidence in Jerusalem that the United States really means what it says when it says that it will, it really has a plan B and it will help, if a push comes to shove, it will help prevent a nuclear Iran. I think there was more confidence in the Trump administration that it was prepared to go to any lengths necessary in order to do that. I think there's far less confidence now that the Biden administration is prepared to do the same thing. And so the Israelis are coming up with their own plan B.
Would you say, one of the questions I get from people is, why should we be more concerned about Iran's nuclear weapon than about North Korea's? And my answer is that because Iran says very specifically it intends to use the nuclear weapons to eradicate a country and a whole country. North Korea hasn't quite said that, have they?
Well, North Korea certainly is not a slouch in terms of all this bellicose rhetoric, right? They talk about sort of turning the west coast of the United States into a sea of fire. But there's another wrinkle here, which I think a lot of people don't fully appreciate. Iran is the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism. And so what you have if Iran acquires a nuclear capability is a nuclear umbrella that extends over terrorist groups like Hezbollah and Hamas and Shiite militias in Iraq, that will give those groups far greater freedom of action against U.S. allies and U.S. interests, and it will raise the potential costs of any response by the U.S. or its allies, because there will be the specter of a nuclear-armed Iran that could retaliate in some fashion if we move too sternly, too strongly against it.
And meanwhile, in the Middle East, there's a new call for Israeli force in the terms of a police force, not by Jews or Israelis anywhere, but by Palestinians. Why? We'll get to that coming up.
More of Michael Nedved in a moment.
Many people own coins that have not performed as well as they had hoped they would, but markets change and you should get a new valuation. Maybe the coins have done better with current moves in precious metals, or maybe you want to do something else with that money. Let me tell you about my friend Nick Grovich. He's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. For over 40 years, Nick has built a reputation for trust, honesty, and his goal is to earn your business for life. He won't push you to sell, but when you're ready, he offers the best prices, trades, and consignment deals in America. Right now, Nick and the AmFed team are offering their exclusive coin performance review totally free. Yes, totally free with a no-pressure guarantee from Nick. Go online at AmericanFederal.com or call 800-221-7694. That's AmericanFederal.com and 800-221-7694. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. Will socialism or free markets decide the future of our state of Washington? Washington Policy Center stands for free markets and market-based solutions, but they cannot do it alone. Join WPC Friday, October 1st at the Bellevue Hyatt Regency for their Western Washington annual dinner event and support market-based reforms for our state. The internationally acclaimed CEO of Whole Foods and the free market champion John Mackey will deliver the keynote address. In addition to being among the world's most successful business leaders, Mackey launched Conscious Capitalism, a vigorous defense of private enterprise and its power to do good. Mackey warns we cannot surrender future generations to the trickle-up poverty of socialism. Help promote the positive power of markets. Washington Policy Center's annual dinners have become among the nation's biggest events of their kind. Get tickets and information at WPCdinner.com. That's WPCdinner.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And on the Michael Medved show, pleasure speaking to Ilan Berman. We've posted his most recent material on the subject matter at our website at michaelmedved.com. Is Ilan still with us, Jeremy? Okay. One of the other issues involving the Middle East that I was eager to talk about has to do with a new slogan that is emerging in Israel, where members of the Israeli Arab minority, they're about a little bit less than 20% of the Israeli population, and this is citizens of Israel, are Arabs. They are now in the government, Palestinian Arabs. They are part of this governing coalition under Prime Minister Naftali Bennett. But people are chanting, Arab Lives Matter, Arab Lives Matter. But as even the New York Times points out, it's a strange kind of opposite of these slogans that you heard associated with the slogan Black Lives Matter here in the United States. Why? Because in Black Lives Matter here in the United States, it was largely an anti-police slogan. And a slogan where people wanted less policing, less funding, less support for police. The Arab Lives Matter is a plea for more activism and more protection from the Israeli police. Protection from whom, you might ask? And it's from an increasing number of Palestinian gangs, ultra-violent gangs, who are allegedly running amok among Israeli Arabs. There's a piece by Isabel Kirshner, who's the regular reporter for the New York Times in Israel, and it's actually interesting because they begin by talking about a shooting by members of an Arab gang in an Arab town within Israel. And Isabel Kirshner writes, the shooting was just one of at least 16 homicides in Israel's Arab communities last month. That, by the way, is about a typical weekend in Chicago. right? Which is actually the city of Chicago is a comparable population to the Israeli Arab population. Israel is more than 9 million people and close to 2 million Arabs. In any event, this year, so far, all year, there have been supposedly an all-time high, which is 100 Arabs killed in criminal violence. Now, if you compare that to any city in America, that's remarkably modest. It means that the Israeli Arabs, who now say they're facing a crime crisis, and it is serious whenever gangs move in and they start claiming victims, but I think it's fascinating to look at how that crisis compares to the United States of America or to any big city here in the U.S. The killings, not by Israeli soldiers, but by Arab criminals, writes the New York Times, account for about 70% of all Israeli homicides. Israel has always had a very low homicide rate because it's a well-policed country. And 70% of all Israeli homicides, though Arabs represent just close to 20% of the population. The surging violence has shocked the country and put a spotlight on what the government acknowledges to have been decades of neglect of crime in Arab communities. What's so striking about this is that with the protests asking for more policing, there's an indication that there is, at least by the bulk of the Arab community in Israel, more trust for Israeli police institutions and police protection than anything offered by their fellow Palestinians. They write in the New York Times, the spike in killings has spawned an Arab Lives Matter campaign, but unlike the Black Lives Matter movement in the United States, Arab leaders are begging for more police presence and more police action. Can the Israeli police really not overcome a bunch of criminal gangs? Demanded Ayman Odeh, who is the leader of the Arab Alliance in Israel's parliament. That's what he said at a demonstration last week. Of course it can, but to put it simply, it treats us as its backyard. The number of homicides within the Arab community has spiraled in recent years from 58 nationwide in 2013 to 98 so far this year. An Arab citizen of Israel is far more likely to get killed by a fellow Arab than by the Israeli police, and more Arabs have been killed by far by Arabs in Israel this year than have been killed by Israeli security forces in confrontations in the occupied West Bank, or for that matter, to the confrontations that have been going along on the border with Gaza recently, where there is no Israeli police presence at all. The point about all of this is, I think, that the Bennett government has actually, they've held emergency meetings. They're going to try to do something about going against the Arab gangs. But it goes to, it seems to me, a very dramatic answer to people like Ilhan Omar, who didn't want to fund, or AOC, who voted just present, on this Iron Dome. The Iron Dome protects people, it defends people, which is exactly what some of these Israeli Arabs seem to be asking for, which is more protection from Israel itself, which they apparently will be getting. They say in the Times, as the numbers have increased, the killings have become more brazen. A month ago, Anas al-Wawa, who was 18, was an outstanding student and a youth volunteer with the Israeli Ambulance Service, was shot at close range at noon while waiting for his mother in a car in the center of Lod, which is a mixed Jewish-Arab town in central Israel. The Arab leaders, experts, and government officials attribute the spike in internecine violence mostly to the rise of well-armed Arab crime organizations involved in loan sharking and protection rackets, brutally enforced by ranks of unemployed, aimless youths eager to be foot soldiers for easy money. But personal grudges, small land disputes between neighbors, or even petty slights between school children add to the numbers, sometimes escalating into deadly clan vendettas. Guns have also been turned against women in cases of domestic violence and so-called honor killings. Okay, one of the things here is to understand that this is not a racial, it is not a national, it is not a political issue. This is an issue of crime. And it seems to me that just as Americans would instinctively, I think, in most cases, support the cause of law and order and justice and security, the obviously great majority of Israelis would do the same. And part of this whole concern for Israeli Arabs shows the idiocy of the claims about Israel as an apartheid state that are so popular among the radical Democrats who have exerted more and more influence in our Congress. Speaking of that, we're going to be speaking later on the show about the real dangers of economic collapse on this issue of raising the debt ceiling. We will get to that. We will also be talking about the biggest problem of them all, the whiff of a civil war, David French says. Have we gotten to the point where Americans just hate each other so much that we can't even function in the same country? It's a dire thought, but some of the citations that David French makes on that are worth paying attention to, in fact, needed to examine in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.